Welcome to another episode of Interview with a Schizophrenic. I'm your host, Duncan Samra-Singer, and today I have the great pleasure of welcoming back Benjamin. Ben has been on two episodes of this podcast. We've discussed his history, which was pretty interesting, was about his experience as a WASP survivor, an offshore institution for youngsters, for troubled youngsters, which I think is quite unusual and quite unknown. Ben is 35, from Connecticut. He has schizoaffective and ADHD. He had a traumatic brain injury. He's dealt with addictions to alcohol. He lost his young baby. He's gone through quite a lot. So today what I thought we'd do is we'll talk about psychosis. We're just going to have an open discussion about psychosis and to see where the conversation leads. So Benjamin, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Duncan.
Yeah, so how are things in Connecticut?
Nice. It's like spring is trying to come out the last couple of days. It was blistery cold with wind, but the last couple of days have been spring-like, so sun's out, people walking in the park. I moved, so now I have a view of a nice park in my apartment.
And that's nice.
It's going well.
Are you working now? What is that?
Yeah, situation? I'm doing an internship for school. I'm doing an internship at a inpatient drug and alcohol treatment center. Mm-hmm. That also deals with mental health. So it's right up my alley. It's something I know a little bit about. So,
are you working as a support worker?
Right now, I'm training to be a counselor.
Yeah.
And I would be taking over different caseloads, dealing with the individuals in a group atmosphere as well. I'm running 7 groups a week right now. So it keeps me busy, it keeps me close, keeps things fresh, reminder every day that I could be back in that spot if I take one slip. So
yeah, I think that's a brilliant choice of career, because that's a real you know, useful thing to do. With your life experience, you have a lot to give. It's like me doing this podcast. You know, I have experience from life, from living through schizophrenia, and I think, you know, you've got your experience as well. So I think that is a brilliant thing to do.
Yes, I think what a lot of us want to give back to the community when we feel healthy again, because it was the community that helped us get there. So
yeah, I think when we look back, there's always people who, you know, maybe our parents or doctors or nurses or just social workers who helped us, or people in our life that, you know, just let it go when we're going through a rough time. And also we have an empathy for the youngsters who are going through it now. And we may never have had someone to help us in that sort of regard. So I think it makes a big difference.
Yes. Yeah. And I think you doing a thing like this podcast is great to get awareness out to people.
Yeah, you know,
that's the best way to do it now. And podcasts are a great way, a great resource for people to look for.
Yeah, you know, I still find it quite difficult. I do feel kind of like I'm fighting against the wall rather than people encouraging me to do it. I do feel that I've got to push myself, but I do feel it's important and I do feel that it does help people. And from the feedback I've had, you know, I just want to keep going, you know, it's just something that I just want to do. And I think it makes me feel good when I've talked to my guests, and, you know, I just think it's important, you know, so you know, I welcome other people to do other podcasts that are similar to mine. You know, I welcome that because, you know, we need more space in the internet to show people and to educate them about what this condition is and what life experiences you have that are due to schizophrenia, like all the troubles you have to go through. So I completely welcome, you know, anybody just to do another show like mine. You know, I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think so as well.
Yeah, you know, so why don't we let me I've got a long list of questions which often I don't use because I try to let people speak, but Benjamin, have you ever had any? I know we talked last time about that homeless woman who said that remark about the baby, which was kind of strange. Have you personally had any experiences with precognition or paranormal sort of activity?
The one instance that I always get reminded of when talking about that subject is when I was 15 and in Jamaica. In that school, there was one night, I should go back middle school, I created a voice, or I had a voice, and my voice would change, kind of like The Shining, the movie or the book The Shining talks about Tony in the back of the throat. I had one, its name was Murgle, and it was a different voice. My voice would change and my demeanor would change. And I did that voice back at school in Jamaica, and I was just saying fire repeatedly before we went to bed. And I didn't think anything of it. We went to bed, and then we were woken up early because there was a fire right outside of where we sleep. So we were evacuated, and I didn't think of it till my friend who was there that night, before he slept in the same room, he said, "You were saying fire last night. You remember that?" And I said, "Oh yeah." So I have a really good instance of that happening.
Yeah, that's a clear example of precognition. What I suspect, you know, I suspect that we are some, because I think schizophrenia affects the mind, and I sometimes suspect we're conduits for external influences.
I think our brain is operating in a different way that's normal, and we have I like to think of it as a third consciousness. You have your regular conscious, then you have your subconscious, and then there's this third one that I think everybody could get access to if they practice their whole life, but we're more prone to getting access to this third consciousness, and we're able to see things in the universe. We're more in tune with the universe, so to speak, in certain aspects. So that's why I think that we're more likely to get that precognition, premonition type ability, whatever you want to call it. I call it ability.
You know, you're 35, I'm 49. So, you know, I've had a few more years than you, and I do experience paranormal sort of psychic events and synchronicities. You know, sometimes precognition. You know, I feel every day of my life is like a paranormal experience. Do you know what I mean? In terms of getting influences coming into my mind.
Yeah, I can tell you from my last rehab, something clicked in me, and it was like the spirit world came alive, and I was able to, so I believe there's spirits with people and there's spirits with places, and there's good and there's bad. There's angels and there's demons, whatever you want to call them. I call them spirits. So there's no denomination to it. There's just good spirits and bad spirits. And I'm in tune with my spirits. When I am in tune with them, I'm operating at a much higher level and much happier and satisfied and content level, because I'm working in within my condition and expanding it. But I also have to learn that if I let the evil spirits take control, they want me dead. They want everything around me destroyed. They want to set the world on fire. Whereas the good spirits are usually what this. So you talk about the synchronicities. That's the good spirits, like showing me like this is everything's in the right place at the right time type thinking and feeling. Yeah. I think that comes from the good spirits that are leading the way. And that lets me know that I'm in tune with the universe again in a positive way.
So what I think is that there's a spirit energy that surrounds everybody that we can tap into, that we can influence, that can affect us. And also a lot of people just ignore it. And, yeah. you know that phrase, a North American phrase, the Western civilization's cut off from spirit. So this means if you could tap into spirit, I think then you have synchronicities. You feel calm. You don't get panicky. You don't get agitated because you're in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. And you're following spirit. But then again, you can also influence spirit when you act with free will. So if you do something, say you do something heroic, that gives spirit some new growth, and that spirit influences other people because now you've made an imprint on life. You said spirit, well, part of human spirit is to do this in this situation, and that spirit can affect somebody else. But I think some people, some people have are emotionally unstable, and they're not sure why, because their spirit is affecting them, but they're just cut off from it. They can't handle it.
I believe that's Western culture doing it, what it's done since the Catholic Church came into play, or really where Western, where the church tried to kill all the scientists and kill all the knowledge that didn't fit their system. So they got rid of a lot of things. And part of that, what I think is the spiritual world they got rid of. They tried to get rid of it. They tried to get people away from intuition thinking, because if we stay blind to what they're doing, they get to stay in control. If we actually listen to the universe and to our intuition and to our spirit world, then we're more inclined to realize that they're just hungry for power and money, and they're taking advantage of us as people.
You know what's kind of bizarre, right? When you look back at our ancient history and you see these beautiful kind of spiritual pyramids, like in South America or Egypt or in India, these beautiful structures which are so innate and so spiritual and so inspiring, or the standing stones in Scotland, where they're just kind of like mysterious. They're like, why would you do that? But there's a calmness associated with them. And humans did that, and we're still humans today, yet now we live in a boring house and do a boring job, and we pay our taxes, and we're, yes, sir, thank you, sir.
I think they train us, that work mentality, they train us in our education system. Stand in line, raise your hand, ask to go pee, do what we tell you when we tell you. Don't be a free spirit. Don't think freely. Don't think critically either. They don't teach critical thinking. Hopefully they do today more than they used to. I mean, they teach Christopher Columbus founded America. Are you kidding me? And there's people here, and he was calling them Indians and all this. Like, our history is so far from the truth of our history what they teach in schools and in general and in masses is so much different than the true history when you hear about the history, the reality of what our history is.
Yeah, you know, it's like you spend 20 years at school and then you spend another 20 years trying to get back into the real world and letting go of that education. You know, the type of education which I think is useful is, say, English literature. So learning to talk, learning to write, learning to communicate. Yeah, that's brilliant. You know, I love that. Mathematics. Okay, I think mathematics goes a little bit too far, but training the mind to think logically is excellent. You know, like history. Okay, then it's subjective, but at least it's something that which might pique an interest later in life. But you know, but I know what you mean. The sort of the regimented style of trying to get people just to be good little workers, you know, which is what happens, right?
Yeah.
You know?
They're training you for that 9-to-5 that corporate America wants to put you in.
Yeah. Which is, and most people just do it, you know? And, but what I think is the most important thing is that we're far more interesting if we're just given a chance. If we're just given a chance, we're far more interesting and there's far more beauty in spirit that we can discover among ourselves.
Well, because I'm a big spiritual person, but in school, I dropped out of school at 15. I think I covered it in one of the previous two. I dropped out at 15, not because I wasn't smart enough, but because I couldn't do with the school system anymore. And I also left my parents' house. But going back, I was a math guy. I loved math because there was always an answer. And then, as long as there was a clear, concise answer, I could find it. And if I couldn't find it, I could work to find it. Whereas language is very subjective. So I had difficulty with that more so than math. But I think the math was a different form of language. I think it was, like you said, it works on logical thinking, which I guess is the right or left side of the brain, and the language is the other hemisphere. But I think that expressing using numbers really helped me. It was a different way for me to look at life. I like to look at life with there being black and white. That's how I've always lived my life. I'm learning now how to live in the gray, because that's where everybody sits, is somewhere along the gray.
Living in the gray, what helps is letting yourself get influenced by spirit. So, you know, just being natural, being true, you know, being authentic, you know, being mature, and just letting you feel in the situation. How does it feel? Do I feel comfortable? Do I feel calm? Do I feel like I want to say something now? Do I feel when I do something now? You know, that helps with the gray aspect, the in-between, you know, when you're not sure, you just kind of feel it, you know?
Yeah, and I think that goes back to the intuition part, yeah. And being able to trust your feelings. I think I had a trouble with that growing up. Because my feelings were always taught, you don't feel. I was raised to, especially a man, doesn't feel. Emotions were not something they don't teach emotions. They don't teach you how to handle emotions. They don't teach you how to behave with emotions, how to accept an emotion and move on from an emotion. They don't teach you that emotions are temporary and we all go through them and we end up on the other side. But I think, emotions are very much part of that gray area.
You know, it's like at school, rather than teaching us calculus, which is interesting, but kind of pointless because we're never going to use it. 99.99% of people are never going to use it.
Yeah, why not have go into math.
Yeah. Why not have a class on psychology, human emotions, you know, help us understand each other better, you know, like what you're saying, help us understand why we have emotions, why we feel in a certain way, you know, how to conquer fear, because I think there's a major problem with people being afraid, and they don't even know they're afraid, and it just confuses them. But
yeah.
You know, so let's teach people about overcoming fear and why being fear
can be a good thing. It can be a good thing. It can be a tool to let you alert yourself that you need to really pay attention at that time. Your body's going to react.
I guess what it is, it's fear that leads to panic or inaction, and that fear which you can control. Like, because I think we always have a sense of fear. There's always a sense of fear because life is precarious, life is dangerous. So there's always that little sense of fear. But if you control it, and you're like what you say, use it to your advantage, then yes, yeah, I get what you're saying there.
Yeah, I think psychology would be a much better. I get where, like, when you're talking calculus, because the only time you'll use calculus is if you're like going to be a mathematician, fucking professor, or yeah. Someone in the education with math, living in the field of math. I don't think it leaves the school system, you know. You're not going to find a job unless you're an accountant, but they're using a different kind of math. So, yeah, I think you're learning the soft skills. Would be much better adaptable for a teenager to learn, because that's a really confusing time for a human being, for any animal.
It is.
Years is where yeah. You're really trying to figure out who you are, what you are, what you want, who you want, who you want to be, who you plan to be. All that comes in those teenage years. And on top of the puberty, which just throws everything into a muck.
Exactly, that psychology side, because I think people can be quite judgmental, and I think being judgmental, yeah, okay, there is that side to it, but when you try to force your idea of someone onto them, that's when it becomes abusive. So if you think someone is ugly, and then you say, oh, you're ugly, and they're like, whatever, man, I don't care, but then you keep saying it and you try to force them to believe it, that's abuse. Do you know what I mean?
And that happens in school, I think, all the time, starting with young kids. They always go for the outcast, and now today, where I live in the USA, so mass shootings at schools is the big thing these days. But it used to just be bullying and fighting with their fists. It used to not be guns. It used to be take it out to the playground, fight each other with their bare hands, and chances are you're going to be best friends the next day.
Yeah.
Because you went through it together. But I think the bullying aspect of picking on the outcast is kind of it's kind of like trying to get someone to fit back into the society's norms. So if they're not in society's norm, we make fun of them. We outcast them. We treat them differently.
Yeah.
And this is something that we should be learning, that that's not the right thing to do.
Because at the end of the day, everybody has spiritual sovereignty, which means we have a far greater importance than we realize, and we have a far greater intrinsic worth. So it's like what's happening in Gaza, the way that the Israeli regime is systematically destroying Gaza and killing tens of thousands of people. They have lost that ability to see the spiritual sovereignty of the Palestinians. Because each of them has a soul, and it has intrinsic worth, and it is a grave, grave, grave injustice what is happening over there. I think it's a form of racism, isn't it? They don't see that, they don't relate to the Palestinians as real people. They just see them as objects, you know. So they just want to.
I think that goes along with any war. We can even use Russia and Ukraine as an example. why does Russia need to invade Ukraine other than they just want the land and the people and the money?
Yeah. Yeah, so I think
if America gets involved, we just send out our money for, you know who we're backing. Everybody knows who America is backing, yet they act like they're not backing them, and they're hiding, fighting from behind them. They're hiding behind their money and wars. But it could easily turn into a world war real easily. Like if a China or America gets involved physically, then the whole world is gonna, all the teams are chosen. We already know who's gonna side with who. So it's not like any surprises are coming. The best way is just hopefully this dies out before it escalates even more.
Yeah, but the thing is, when there are serious atrocities and they're not being dealt with in a fair and a judicial way, that is when people get angry.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're living in a very sort of strange time at the moment. You know, also in the UK, Kate Middleton, she's the Princess of Wales. She's gone missing. Nobody has seen her since Christmas Day, and the royal family are being very shady about it. They're lying about it. There's something weird going on there. I don't know what is going on, but there's something.
I never heard of it. People were talking about Kate Middleton, and I had no idea what they were talking about until I saw a TikTok on it yesterday. So I've been out of the loop on that one for a long time. But they're showing images where it looks like she's been photoshopped in. And
So what they're trying to say is that she's alive and well, but in reality, she's just disappeared. Wow. And nobody knows, the public does not know where she is, or, you know, we don't know if she's alive.
It's the royal family, so if they want to get away with murder, they can do that real easily.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they, you know, then obviously when Diana died, there's conspiracy theories. What was she, was it a setup, you know?
You would think they would do it in such a way where it wouldn't be traced back to them like they have before. You know, they have the power to really do anything. They can hire a drunk driver to, you know, cause it or whatever.
Yeah, you know, it's like when the powerful are corrupt and they want to hide something, they can just do what they want because they're kind of untouchable. They're kind of untouchable, aren't they?
That's exactly it.
You know, and so, and for some reason, they need us. That's why they have to produce falsified media to kind of influence us. So as powerful as they are, they still need the public. They still depend on us in some way because they need to influence us. You know, they need to shut us down. They need to try and dictate our thought patterns and what we believe, you know?
Well, I think we're reaching the tipping point as a world organization because now everything's global, right? It has been since the internet and probably has been a little bit before that. But ever since the internet, everything's global. All the shipping and everything is global. I think we're hitting the tipping point where the masses are finally going to say we've had enough. And if you look, use Israel as an example. It's kind of like what's happening there. They're saying we've had enough. When we watch movies, we always root for the resistance, right? We always root. Those are always the good guys, the small guy, like Star Wars. The resistance is who we root for, not the empire.
Exactly.
And the same thing when we watch, you can watch something on the royal family and you root for the little guys over the royal families. Fictionary royal family, it's not the real one, but we always side with the little guy until the little guy in the real world starts fighting, and now we just want them to shut up.
Yeah, I think the difference between movies and real life is that we believe movies, we love them, but we think it's impossible, or that, you know, it's not, it's in real world. We think being mature is being being sort of in line and behaving and sort of being quiet and sort of licking the ass of our superiors. You know, that's what we think is good, right? Or mature. But that's not mature. That's just following like a sheep, you know?
Yeah. I agree. That's why I think the biggest thing a school could do to change their curriculum is to teach people how to critically think.
Yeah.
How to think for themselves. Not always look for the answers from other people. The problem is now kids are growing up with Google in their phone at 2 years old, so they don't need to think critically. They're watching Facebook, Instagram, all the social media sites. They're watching, they're using Google for any answer they need. They don't need to think critically because they can find the answer on their phone. They don't know how to go out and do research on their own. No one's teaching them how to. Hell, I'd be surprised if they still read books.
I think reading books is probably really difficult for this Generation Z, you know, because they've got an iPad. And so why are they going to sit down and read a book when they can just watch a summary of a movie on YouTube?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of fucked up.
They're getting all their information from there. Now that's what the powers to be don't like that, because the internet was built. When the internet first came out, it was a free space. It was a space we could, all of us around the world could talk to each other, spread our ideas and values, keep each other up with what's going on in our parts of the world. It was a free way to be entertained and a free way to get education and a free way just to do whatever you wanted to do. It was like the Wild West. I was able to create a website for nothing, for free, when it was first coming out. But all that's changed as they've cracked down on the internet, and now they're trying to ban social media sites on internet, and they're trying to control the message being relayed instead of keeping it an open free market.
Yeah. It's like, I know you, it's like Reddit. I thought Reddit has got a cutting edge of, Reddit's just full of shit. It's just little kids trying to make jokes. There's nothing intelligent there anymore. You know, there's nothing like...
Yeah, it could be a great website.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah. I haven't used social media in a long time. I just view TikTok during my smoke breaks. I watch like 5 minutes of TikTok.
Yeah, I like to watch TikTok as well because it's quite entertaining for like half an hour. You know, it's got little videos on there. I watch a lot of Jordan Peterson. I like Jordan Peterson because I feel he's a brave talker, and he's very intelligent. You know, his brain is organized very logically. So it's quite interesting to hear what he's got to say. So that's what I like, and I just want the truth, you know. Because
that's what's so hard to find today.
And the truth doesn't have to be about some sort of brutal criticism or some confession. The truth is kind of your mind operating in perfect alignment with your mouth. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not about...
The dots connect.
Yeah.
And they actually connect. Whereas schizophrenia, if you wanted to get into psychosis, sometimes our dots that aren't supposed to connect are automatically connecting. And we're able to see connections and patterns where other people can't see them, which I think is how come we can have a brilliant mind and people can see that we're pretty intelligent at times. Because our brain is able to connect dots from one side of the brain to the other that normal people, their brain doesn't operate that way. So I can find a pattern in I used to be able in school, like I would find the most word. They give you a long word or a phrase and say, how many small words can you make out of it? I used to always get the most out of anybody in the class because I could see the letters and words faster. And it was more like I could jumble the letters up together and find the answer a lot faster than a normal person could.
Yeah. Okay, Benjamin, I think we're going to close it here. I want to invite you back for another episode if you would like to do that.
Okay. Yeah, I would do that.
Sure. Okay, cool. So what I thought, because this is actually season three now, I sort of behind the scenes, I say, like the first 2 years were season one. Then I did season two where I reflected back on season one. And this is season three. And part of season three is that I want to put binaural beats in the music. Before I always used to ask what type of music, now I want to put different frequencies.
Music. I would say do for me theta waves.
Okay, I'll have a look at theta waves.
Yeah.
Because I think it actually does have some sort of value. So that is what I'm going to do. I really enjoyed this. This was a different episode. It was kind of a free talk, which was quite really enjoyable. That was good. You know, because it's like before all the other episodes I've done, I've always like it's always been about strictly schizophrenia, about the history, which I think is useful and has. And, you know, the podcast is successful in terms of it's got a global reach and people have recognized it. So that must have been working. That aspect must have been working. But I think this side now of talking freely, say with experienced guests, I think has also another value. Because at the end of the day, we're schizophrenics as people, but we don't have to talk about schizophrenia. We can talk about life as well.
Our whole life is... We might operate differently, but we're able to live in a normal world. And half the time, you wouldn't even know someone behind you in line could have schizophrenia and you'd have no idea.
Exactly. Okay, Benjamin, let's wrap it up here. I'll add some binaural beats. I'll look for feather waves. I'll chat to you online later. Okay. We can arrange something. So thanks very much. It's a pleasure as always. And see you next time for the next episode.
All right. Thank you, Duncan.